self-driving car. I'm freaked out. Also, somebody made a really funny tweet talking about how like Apple's trying to put out a car.
Oh, I saw that.
Did you see that tweet?
In like a year and a half when it slows from like 95 to 25 because it's like not compatible with the roads anymore.
Oh, or because like they're like, oh, we're releasing the Apple car too.
Yeah,
and
right.
And then all of a sudden it's just like, you know, forced obsolescence.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the right word?
That is.
Wow, Jesus.
Yeah. Dude, no, I'm all for it. I am all for sacrificing all of my personal freedom for convenience. If you put a chip in my arm and it makes my grocery store go faster,
fine.
Great.
Sign me up. Listen, I really...
Don't care. Sign me up. Sign me up.
I really hate to feel like the libertarian of the podcast, but...
Oh, it's speaking a hard of Keegan, pass. I am... this is totally sidebar and you can cut this out if you want, but I am specifically focusing on, for my midterm, for my art class, I'm focusing on crucifixion scenes from German Expressionism, and I don't remember enough about the crucifixion to properly articulate it and have a couple questions.
Do you have
about
2 hours? You can just watch Passion of the Christ.
No,
get it
No. I'm good. I just figured you could have some quick answers for me.
Yes, I will
maybe.
Help you. Yes.
Dude, the place where we got our shot today was at this like giant church compound, and I got really nervous.
Oh, no.
Like, I just saw Nexium. Like, I can't.
This is how they get you. They're like, here's the vaccine. Can we also interest you in some literature? And you're like,
If you tell 10 of your friends about this literature.
No.
Can I tell you my favorite feature in my new car, though?
Yes.
Okay. So Apple CarPlay was my must have. I did not know until I got into the car after the purchase was done and Dudeface was showing me all the features that it is Bluetooth enabled. I don't even have to plug that shit in.
That's the best.
Listen, it's just automatic. Mm-hmm. And then it's got like I take off my cap and I slide it down into this little slot and it has a charge. Oh, like the
that is nice. Anthony's car is also Bluetooth enabled. The second we get in the car, it's just Dateline just blaring through the speakers.
Oh, mine has been stereo. And it's been specifically those two ladies.
That's so funny to me.
Every time I get in the car and I'm like, son of a
dude, those, they have nothing else but to be, they own stereo, don't they?
They own stock or something.
Yeah,
you know what,
every time
I can't be mad at the hustle. There are these two women listeners, who every single time, all three of us, which how did that
doesn't
happen?
Matter.
It's like we're all coordinated on the same stereo wavelength. But all three of us, every time we open our stereo, they're the same two women doing a live show. They must have some kind of podcast. It must be about like mysticism or something, because that's always what they're talking about. Which
it's
is fine.
Fascinating.
That's great.
I've actually listened for a little while before. I'm like, this is kind of interesting, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I can't hate their hustle at all, but I am just like, how do they have the time? Like, it's their full-time job is being on stereo. It
has to be. Because I, for one, as somebody who has a podcast and can talk, and literally my job is to talk to people, I can't fucking think of a single thing over 30 minutes to talk about on stereo.
It's like stage fright sometimes.
It's different because it feels like a phone call.
That's
different from, like, you know, when we're recording, we see each other's faces and it feels like a conversation between the three of us. It's just been a while since I've been like on a phone call with one of you guys.
I mean? I feel like I have
I'm never good at phone calls.
I have
anyway.
Phone call anxiety. Like, so I'm just like, this, I enjoy stereo and everyone should listen in because it is fun. It is
Fridays
a really good time.
6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Yes. And we do update the link on our Instagram page, My Real Estate Podcast on Instagram. We update that link every week with the next week's after
episode.
Party. Yeah. Yes. But yeah, I do. I get kind of like,
I don't
like
know
phone
what to
call
say.
Anxiety where I'm just like, I have to be interesting and charming.
Do you pace? I totally walk around my entire room.
Oh, yeah. That's the only way to talk on the phone.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm doing it wrong.
Oh, yeah. I have to like pace back and forth. I've never been much of a phone talker. Mm-hmm. It's just never, like, even with Chris and I, neither of us are. So even when I traveled, there'd be like days it would just be text. Hey, like,
Oh my gosh, like, Eric just, and I still talk on the phone all the time. If he goes to like Bakersfield or whatever to visit his dad, he'll give me a call after his dad goes to bed and we'll talk for a couple hours.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus, a couple hours. I'm like, I'll talk to Anthony whenever I'm, you know, out of town, but it's like a half hour tops, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, we catch up every couple of days, you know, I mean, we're texting all the time, but it's like, we catch up on the phone every couple of days, like for half an hour.
We're still in that honeymoon stage.
Yeah. I think that, well, Chris and I never have been that way, though. We're both not phone people. Mm. I actually think that not traveling for work is going to be really healthy probably for our relationship in that way. Mm. Because I actually still like him. So that it's
that's good to find out.
Yeah, no, definitely. Especially when you have been traveling for as much as I have, you're like, oh shit, now I gotta be in your face all the time.
Yeah.
So between crying about being like the worst wife in the world who hasn't had a job and is like contributing nothing to this family, you know, those conversations, it's been...
yeah. Well, this is my worst date. I'm Christina.
I'm Keegan. Mm. That's Cassie, who just took a drink. Yes.
Sorry, that was bad timing. Bad timing. I'm sorry.
Okay, so... I was listening to the Bechdel cast and they were talking about Bridget Jones's Diary, which I love that movie.
Yeah.
That's a tainted love movie for sure.
It's classic.
It's a classic. It's got its issues because it was an early 2000s fave. You know what I mean? So there are problems.
Yes. Yes.
However, they were talking about how Renee Zellweger went and worked in a publishing house and like undercover in a publishing house so that she could go method for Bridget Jones's Diary, which seems excessive, but she did get an Oscar nom. So I guess it worked out. But she was like undercover and she had, she was dating Jim Carrey at the time. And so she had a picture of Jim Carrey on her desk and nobody who was working there knew that that was Renee Zellweger. So they were like, that's really weird that you just have a framed photo.
Jim Carrey. Why would you, if you're undercover, have your desk photo of your boyfriend on your desk?
They're like, that's strange. But I had totally forgotten that those two had dated.
Yeah.
Like completely. It's like one of those early 2000s relationships that you completely forgot about.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I Googled it because I was like, I want to see pictures of them together. And then an article popped up that from recently where Jim Carrey gave an interview and said that Renee was the love of his life.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
That's sweet.
Well, I just watched Kid 90 on Hulu.
I did too.
With
I have questions.
Soleil Moon Frye. Uh-huh.
And who lived like, my fucking dream life.
Who
teen dream life.
Dude, who literally shouts out Charlie Sheen as taking her virgin.
Ew.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, she like talks about it like it's totally like, this is awesome. And he was great. And I'm like, you were like 16 and he was what, 30? Like,
he was in his late 20s. Yeah.
That's gross.
I hate it.
I don't like that.
But she doesn't talk negatively about it.
Well, no, they apparently like she doesn't talk about that experience like she talks about other experiences she had.
Well, right.
So.
Well, but the thing is, I feel like a lot of women have been there or girls have been there where it's just like, yeah, you don't frame it as like this was something that was inappropriate or that this was predatory behavior or this was grooming behavior. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, I definitely was super flattered when like guys who were in their 20s were into me when I was in my teens. Like I was like, oh, that's
I'm so mature.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so grown up. And so if you can totally have a rosy view of that, I think even if you grow up, sometimes you can still.
Can I be honest? I don't know. I feel like I watched that whole thing. I enjoyed it because it was like sneak peeking into what I wish my teen life.
I know what you're going to say.
But what was the point?
I told Eric, I don't think I would have liked that movie if it wasn't like a name drop.
Yeah, that's
know what
all
I mean?
It was.
It was literally all like a name drop. I don't know what the overall message was supposed to be really in it. It just felt like, look at all my famous friends that I had when I was this age is what it kind of felt
See,
like.
That's
it
what
could
it
have
looked,
been framed better.
That's what it looked like to me. So that's just all it was. It was just like her like with a camcorder talking about like what her life was like at that time.
I think she kept asking herself is like, what are your memories like? Like, do we actually remember correctly Or are we painting a picture? No, we don't
remember correctly. Like, that's proven. Yeah. We absolutely don't remember correctly.
It's just but the then story. She kind of changes the narrative a little bit in midstream and then comes back to that, but then changes it again. And it feels, and then it was like, then she starts questioning, like, do we listen to our friends, you know, and his hindsight and the way that, you know, these people were talking. I mean, she lost a lot of people. I mean, for different reasons, quite a few of them, though, right. because of suicide, which was... you know, tragic. And she's like, is there something I could have done? And so she starts questioning that. And I'm like, it just felt like she, it felt like all over the place.
It sounds like Soleil Moonfry's people went to Hulu and they were like, hey, we have videos. All of these videotapes.
With so many famous people.
What can you do with them? And they basically let her do what she wanted. Because it doesn't, that's what it kind of felt to me when I was watching the trailer. I was like, okay, but what is this? Like, I don't see a point of view other than like, isn't this interesting that we get to see some grainy 90s camcorder footage of some famous people?
That's pretty much what I felt like the video was, other than me getting FOMO and being like, man, I wish my teenage years were like that. But
100.
Yeah.
And Chris was like, that was your teenage years. I said, yeah, but with country boys from the middle of nowhere, Ohio.
Not fucking Depp.
Right, and Leonardo DiCaprio. I'm like, there's a big fucking difference there, Balthazar Getty.
Oh my gosh.
Well, it got me thinking, like, what other couples did you forget about? And so I was like Googling like couples from the early 2000s. Like, I had forgotten that Ryan Gosling and Sandra Bullock dated.
Shit. What?
And I remembered because I was obsessed. I still have it on DVD. This says a lot about me. As like a middle schooler, I was obsessed with the movie Murder by Numbers.
Yeah.
Like, obsessed with that movie.
I just watched that movie not that long ago.
Yeah, like Michael Again. Pitt and Ryan Gosling and Sandra Bullock. And there's a scene at the end where he licks the side of her face. Ugh. And I think that that's the time when they were together. It's like, and it's not romantic.
And that's when they broke up.
No, I think I was, listen. So I'm just saying.
It was a weird spot in the movie. I'm not going to lie. It was so bizarre. You're like, why? And he felt too young for her. Like, he was playing.
He was like a decade. Well, he was playing a high schooler, but he wasn't a high schooler, but he was like a decade younger than her when they dated. I mean, but he was in his 20s and she's in her 30s. That happens.
No, it's legal. We're not. Yeah.
That happens all the time. Crazy. The other way around with like men and women. I know. You know what I mean? But yeah. Are there any that you can think of that were like weird couples?
Weird couples. I mean, I just remembered the other day that Brad Pitt and Gwyneth Paltrow dated.
Oh yeah, oh, yeah. They were a hot item. But he also dated Juliette Lewis, which was...
dated a lot of people. He dated the lead generic chick from Stepfather.
Nuh-uh.
Yes.
No way.
In fact, I think I read an article where she turned down his proposal, and I was like,
Wait, what?
Yes.
The Stepfather, the movie we just watched.
For Tainted Love, that's on our Patreon right now.
He dated the teen girl?
Mm-hmm. And I think when they started she was doing more stuff than him. Like, because it was the
80s. Stop it. Yes. You're blowing
there are pictures,
my mind.
There that's are pictures. Awesome.
And she turned down his proposal?
Mm-hmm. I wonder if she kicks herself for that. Can you imagine?
That's like that the original drummer for the Beatles. Oh. How do you sleep at night?
I think the weirdest couple I can think of is Billy Bob and Angelina.
Oh yeah,
I mean, that was a weird.
What a time, you know.
I mean, that was pretty famous time. Though. It's not one I forgot about. It definitely is weird.
Yeah. So I found that coupling this. I did find this list, and there's like Kim Kardashian and Nick Cannon were together. Matt Damon and Winona Ryder were together.
Really?
Yes, Ashton Kutcher and January Jones.
That seems like an odd pairing because she seems V serious, like V like kind of like quirky.
Yeah,
I don't see those two personalities meshing. Like, I know them personally,
Cher, right? Yeah, you know.
Wait, Cher and Tom Cruise.
No,
stop. Yes,
no,
yes,
no.
In a segment called "Truth or Cher" on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, Cher revealed she once dated Tom Cruise, who is 16 years her junior. He was in the top five, she joked when asked to rank her lovers. It's not a long list, just a good list.
Nice. Okay, quality over quantity. Says Cher. Sure.
I'm Magic Girl.
Words to live by.
Madonna dated Tupac?
No, wait, no. Wow. No, 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 no.
Madonna made headlines when she admitted that she dated Tupac Shakur years before his death in 1994. I was dating Tupac at the time, and the thing is, he got me all riled up on life in general, she told Howard Stern.
Well, wow. All right.
Okay, well.
Okay.
Oh.
Just saying. Interesting.
Lyle Lovett and Julia Roberts.
Whoa.
That's the...
I didn't...
That's a strange
hate
one.
Hate it, though. Is that weird? Weird? Like, at the time, I was like, he... seems genuinely like one of the sweetest people on the
planet.
Didn't
she also like leave someone to be with him? There was like a whole story about that. Like,
she left him for somebody else. I think that was the story.
I think you're right.
I think that was like the scandal.
Yes, I think you're right. Oh man, gosh.
Oof. 2000s romances, man.
Wild times.
Man, I wouldn't want anybody going through my playbook though.
Mm-mm. No.
If I were famous.
No.
Let's keep that close.
Keep it unlocked, you know?
It's not so much a...
I don't have a share list. Let's put it that way.
Well, even now, there are certain ones that I think about, like, you know, as a child of the 2000s, there were like bands, big emo bands. Did you guys ever listen to Good Charlotte?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the two brothers, like Benji and Joel, yeah. The twins, like one of them is married to Cameron Diaz and the other one is married to Nicole Richie. And who, like, these, they would have been completely obsolete at this point.
One of them married to Ashley Simpson, or not Ashley Simpson, but Ashley Simpson. You're right.
And one of them dated Hillary Duff for a while. What do these boys have? Because I don't think that they're like,
dude,
fine or anything. You know,
that's one of those things where it's like famous people are just like us. No, guess what? Famous girls also like dirty musicians.
They are just like us.
They're dirty musicians with questionable lip piercings. Yeah. You know?
Man.
Yeah.
They get the best of us.
We should do emo musicians for FMK.
We've done it before, but there are more.
Oh, never mind.
There are more. I mean, there's always more.
She's like, I'm always down for this. We can just do dirty musicians.
We can do fuck, marry, kill these couples, these weird couple pairings.
Okay.
Oh. Just pick one.
Well, I'm sorry, Cassie, but I have to go Sharon Tom Cruise because I think that is such a wild, weird pairing.
It is wild for sure.
Madonna Tupac over here.
Oh my God.
How do I top that?
I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I'm doing Angelina and Billy Bob. I'm sticking with that. That's wild.
No. Okay. Like, I feel like this, there's not a safe choice in the bunch here.
I know what I'm doing. Well, okay. I know for sure that I'm going to fucking marry Cher and Tom Cruise. They ain't got to be together. I'm marrying both of them. And I am happy.
You can go back and forth between their houses like a child of divorce.
I'm here for all of it.
So many wigs.
Oh my God, it's going to be so much fun, you guys.
So many wigs.
Cher would be the most fun mom.
It's going to be the most fun, you guys.
Wait, you're marrying her. Fun. She's not your mom. Why in my head was I like,
we're going to share wigs. It's going to be so much fun. There's going to be so much
costumes,
fringe.
Makeup.
So much fringe.
On both sides, man.
There's going to be so much cultural appropriation.
Oh, no.
Oh, I don't like that. But I am marrying them. And then I'm going to fuck Billy Bob and Angelina because that shit's going to be crazy.
You might not ever leave their house. They might sacrifice you.
It's going to be wild. It's going to be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going in a different direction than you. I am going to marry Madonna and Tupac. And here's why. Because I'm going to move to London. I'm finally going to be able to do an accent. I'm going to be surrounded by it. I'm going to pick it up.
With no shame.
No shame.
You're with Madonna. Yeah. And it don't matter.
And it's...
If it doesn't sound good when she does it, it doesn't matter if it sounds good when you do it.
Correct.
It's fine.
We can both have terrible British accents. I think... I mean, I saw Madonna's sex video back in the day.
She's hot.
It was...
That fucking sex book...
Yes.
I thought I was going to fucking instantaneously combust.
Yes.
That shit was hot.
So hot. Smoking hot. So I'm all here for it. I'm gonna marry the two of them. I think I'm going...
You can't go wrong with Tupac.
Oh, man.
He's so great.
I think this I'm is
gonna,
really
I
hard.
I think I'm gonna fuck Sharon Tom Cruise.
Oh no.
I think I would rather have Tom Cruise's penis than Billy Bob's penis.
Oh my god, you're so right.
And I know that you say it out loud.
Oh no. Oh no. Oh.
And yeah, I think being sandwiched in between Cher and Tom Cruise sounds better to me than being sandwiched between Billy Bob.
Oh. Now that you say that with Billy Bob, all I can think about is his character in Sling Blade.
Taters.
In freaking Bad Santa.
Oh. You guys, I'm gonna cry. I don't know what I'm gonna do because all of the options are
It's all bad.
Yeah, it's
Tupac is the best thing about this situation, followed closely by Cher.
Yes.
Unfortunately, they are not in a couple together. Oh, so that's I have to break up. Okay. I am going to also marry Madonna and Tupac because although I think that there's the potential for Madonna to become slightly insufferable. Like there's just something about that personality that I'm like, there's not, I feel like I can go when that starts to happen. You have fun time, rich times with Madonna where you're just like balling out of control.
I would totally become that insufferable too. Because before married, fucking community property. That shit's mine too. I will become rich and insufferable with a fake.
But I feel like when I need to be grounded, I'll go kick it with Tupac. And he'll bring me back to earth.
Can you imagine the two of them together?
It is the weirdest.
I can literally not imagine anything
more
bizarre.
It's very strange. I mean, and granted, in that interview, she said she was dating him, but I don't think it was like a serious relationship. But like, yeah, if we're taking them as a couple, I'll marry them because I feel like there's some balance there, right? Like you've got, you can have the fun time out of control shit with Madonna. And when she starts throwing plates at you, then you can go hang out with Tupac. And
she does
just
look like a plate thrower.
I get plate throwing vibes. Now, I'm not here to slander Madonna, allegedly, okay? I don't want to get sued by that woman.
We love you.
We don't know.
I do.
And I do love Madonna. I think Madonna, I think that, you know, she doesn't give a fuck, still doesn't give a fuck, and that's great.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm gonna marry the two of them. Okay. I am going to It's Cher.
Yeah. Dude, you guys could like put makeup on each other for hours and play with Cher. Wig. I'm like, that is so your best life.
It's Cher. You know, I think I'm gonna fuck them.
You're not happy about it.
I'm not thrilled.
Sure.
I'm happy about Cher.
You can always like make out with Cher and make Tom Cruise watch in the armchair in the corner.
I feel like he would.
Would you think?
Yeah.
I kind of feel like it's his vibe.
I feel like that he would probably prefer that actually. I know literally nothing about him. I am his biggest fan.
Once again,
however,
not experts on any of these people.
Oh, wait. This is why we get those bad reviews.
Sorry, God, Dr. TJ Plus. Our accuracy in reporting is not up to
snap. What if he didn't listen at all and then he listened on this episode? He was like, you know what? I'm going to give him another shot. Like, this is what he's getting. He's like, they said Madonna throws plates and Tom Cruise likes to watch. Like, okay.
Prove they don't.
But yeah, so I am going to fuck them because also, you know, I want to be in Cher's inner circle, just period.
I know.
You
know? Fantastic.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And you know, I'm not tethered to them for life or anything.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll fuck them. Tom Cruise can be involved or not.
Yeah.
It's optional. And then, yeah, even though I think Angelina Jolie is gorgeous, obviously,
beautiful.
Like she's so beautiful. And I actually think Billy Bob Thornton is a perfectly talented actor. You're giving me a look like, I don't think he's hot. I don't want to fuck him or marry him. But he's a talented actor. But if it had to be a personal physical relationship, it's a no. It's a pass.
It's gonna be a no for me,
I feel like he is the kind of person which I'm sticking with my guns on this. I'm gonna fuck Angelina and Billy Bob because right. I think they're just the right amount of like dirty times mm-hmm. that I won't tell anyone about. I will
you
never.
Would tell us. You would
a,
have
that's
to.
That's a solid NDA.
Yeah. No one would ever know.
But shit's going to get crazy in there. They had a whole Velcro room. Like there's some fun shit happening in that house.
It's
going to
get wild.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I just, I agree about the Madonna. I think she's, I do love, you know, I love Madonna.
Yeah.
But she really can come off a little insufferable. Like she's one of those people like don't meet your idols.
She's
right?
been famous for too long. Yeah. She got famous too young.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like sometimes when that happens, oh yeah.
But
live your life. It ain't for love me. It. But
yeah. I just want to live in London.
There it is.
You're like, that's literally the only end. Thing. That's where it starts and ends for
wait,
me.
The end. Wait, doesn't Angelina live in France?
I don't know. Don't they have like 8 houses? I don't know.
They also she
30
look,
kids.
She's got too many kids. Yeah, that's the kids. Other thing. I'm yeah, like, right. I'm not marrying into.
But that's why I'm fucking that and fucking running.
Yeah, that's too many kids.
Go on and get your fucking run.
Get a babysitter yep. that night. Mm-hmm. And there we go. Well, ooh. You guys want to take 5 and we'll come back with stories?
Yes. Yeah. And we're back. All right. Kick us off, Christina.
Okay. Mine's super short.
Okay. you can't even get it out.
No.
I can't wait.
After last week's story, oh, I'm no, very
it's,
concerned.
It's very, it's definitely not the level of last week. But okay. He says, I went on a date with a girl to Denny's. Earlier on in the talking phase, I made a comment that I've never eaten mozzarella sticks and didn't know what they were.
What?
I said it as a joke because everyone has had mozzarella sticks. If not, at least they know what they are.
That's a weird joke, though, right?
It's a very weird joke.
Yeah, I'd have to hear context. It doesn't seem very, very funny to me.
Unless it was, I mean, actually, I could see one of us being like, oh, mozzarella sticks, what are those?
What are those?
Like, but you'd have to say it like that.
As I shovel like 3 in my mouth. What are these? Let me try these.
Never had it.
Never had them. Let me try 7. As we finished ordering food, she also ordered mozzarella sticks and commented to the waiter that I had never had any. And could he believe it? I realized then she didn't catch my joke earlier on. So I just went along with it.
Oh, no. Oh, no. He's like, I'm committed. I have to fucking commit.
Commit to the bit. Commit to the bit.
When they came, I took a bite and pretended to be amazed by the cheesy goodness.
Yummy.
This is delicious.
Who would have ever thought of frying cheese? But that's not the bad date part.
Oh, no.
That part was when a mozzarella stick fell on the floor and she reached down to pick it up, smiled and said, 5-second rule, and popped it in her mouth. I was speechless. She ate a mozzarella stick off a carpeted
off like a Denny's
floor.
Diner
That's right.
Floor. I knew it. Oh, as soon as I look as somebody carpet. Who worked in a chain with carpet floors. Like I worked at an Applebee's. You don't
Never.
Even use a
no,
real.
No,
it's
that pushy
vacuum.
No, it's
pushy.
One of those pushy, like cordless. Like I don't know what they do. Vacuums.
Yeah.
So those floors are not.
No.
Even kind of clean.
No, there's a no second rule.
No. Yes.
In a Denny's,
If I drop a spoon on the ground, I'm not using it.
No. You know, the only thing worse would be like a Waffle House where they literally hose the floors off. Like that's the
that
only thing.
Cleaner, actually.
Feel cleaner
no
than
way.
Carpet. There should not be carpet in restaurants. Like, I'm sorry. It's just not my jam.
Oh, gross. You know, I told Anthony about your story, Cassie.
Yeah.
He was so upset about the woman who tasted herself on that guy's dick a week later.
Dude, right. I was editing that yesterday and was just like, just dying laughing.
Disgusted. All right. So this is a story that was written to us by a listener. Okay, so before I tell my story, I just want to give a really quick trigger warning for sexual assault in this story. So
and stalking,
just
be warned. If you don't want to hear this story, you should
go ahead
skip.
And fast forward. It's kind of a long one, so just fast forward to Cassie's story if that's something that is particularly sensitive for you. Totally understand. And it says, hey guys, so I'm a weirdo magnet, for want of a better phrase, and I've been stalked several times.
Oh.
I don't know why. I'm not stunningly beautiful or anything. I think it's partly what Keegan was saying when she said she just smiles at people when they catch her eye because it's polite, and then you've given them a reaction, mm-hmm. and strangeness can come from that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It can. Anyway, here's my worst date. By the way, I'm watching Swim Fan for the first time ever as I type this, which should give you an indication of how far behind I am with the podcast. So
amazing. Yes, I love it.
Yes. So I matched with a guy on Tinder, as you do. I wasn't 100% about him, but he seemed fun and intelligent, so I gave him the benefit of the doubt and agreed to go on a date with him. There were only 3 pictures of him on Tinder, but he seemed cute. When he asked if I was free one Saturday afternoon, I told him I could do a date a bit later on because I had a big shop arriving earlier that afternoon. But any time after that was okay. He said he'd come over and help me unpack my shopping. I politely declined and said I'd meet him later on. Like, yes, we haven't even gone on a first date. You don't need to be that intimate. You don't need to see what I'm buying. You don't need to see my groceries. You don't need to be in my house. No. Right?
No. Exactly.
He wouldn't let it go though. At this point, I just split with a man who hadn't touched me for nearly a year. So I mostly wanted fun first and we could see where things went afterwards. So I eventually agreed to him coming over and we'd go out from there. He asked me to send him a What Three Words reference. I'd never heard of it. So I was a bit taken aback, but gave that to him. So I looked it up.
Yeah, I'm like, what is that? I don't know what that is either.
I didn't either. I looked it up. I guess it's this like geocode location system they have in the UK. I don't understand. It's like dropping a pin, I think.
Okay.
But oh, okay.
It seems complicated. It seems more complicated than dropping a pin. I don't know. Anyway, at the time, I was living alone on the ground floor, 1-bedroom flat at the back of the property. So I didn't have access to the front door, even though it looked like I should from the front of the house. I get that. Like one of those complicated apartment buildings. I gave him instructions, but it was hard to find my door. So when I heard someone knocking at the front door, I had a feeling it was him. My bedroom window looked out onto the front of the property so I could peer out and saw a very short man walking back up the garden path looking at his phone. Now, I don't mind a small man. My dad is 5'3". My mom is 5'10". I'm 5'4". And my most recent ex was 5'6". Height doesn't bother me. Except that he looked very small, almost childlike in an oversized sports top. He also had incredibly short hair, completely shaved at the sides, thicker at the top, and he looked like, I don't know what you guys call them in the US, like an absolute chav.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means. It's a UK term.
I love it.
I think it's like, it's just like a
douche.
Yeah, like a douche. My hackles were up. Bearing in mind, I was 35, he was 33, and I like geeky and or alternative guys generally. But we'd had some good conversations, and I consider myself to be a sapiosexual. For context, my biggest celebrity man crush is Richard Ayoade.
Oh, he's the guy from the IT crowd.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm totally in love, and I'm totally with you on Stanley Tucci. Okay. Love, love, love him.
Yes.
So we got the vibe.
Have you seen that Italy show?
What?
No.
He has a travel show where he's just traveling around Italy eating good food. And I'm like,
I'm here for it. Sign me up.
Oh, man. Christina.
Mm. Pasta in the Tooch.
I really.
It's the name of my band.
Wow. Pasta in the Tooch. I really feel like, you know, when I think about you getting flustered, Christina, about meeting a celebrity, I really feel like you would get flustered if you met Stanley Tucci.
Yeah. He's too put together. Of course I would. I would feel like the absolute schlubbiest human ever. He seems
very Tooch. I mean, Stanley Tucci.
I love you. I love you.
Impeccably dressed always. He just seems very like this, and I am like kind of like
all over.
Like, how do my arms even work? You know?
I can noodles.
So I decided to not be too judgy and banged on the window to guide him to the back of my door. She says, not a euphemism. I was at the end of a period at this point, and I don't do period sex. Me neither, girl.
No, girl. Same.
No.
Not on a first time.
No, definitely not on a first time.
I've
been with my man for a while. So, I mean, if you're feeling right.
Yeah, exactly. If it's feeling right and you've been together for a while and you feel like putting a towel down.
Even now.
Yeah, feels so effort.
It's so, like, so much cleanup. The only way I would do it now is if I was at, like, the very start or the very end.
Correct.
Like,
yeah.
You could not. Not in the middle. I did. Oh, God. I still don't like to think about it. Like, with my ex, I did, like, middle of the period sex with a towel down.
Yeah. It's like
I'll never again.
That's something for the youngs. For the youngs to do.
I don't mess around on the shining days.
No. Yes, precisely. Yeah. I also just don't feel good. Which is what she says. There's nothing wrong with period sex. I just have endometriosis, so it makes periods very painful, and I feel grotty about it. So I didn't expect anything to happen. This guy pretty much pushed me through my flat into the bedroom and started cuddling me on the bed as soon as I opened the door.
No, assault.
I don't like that. He was small but stocky and stronger than I anticipated. After a couple of minutes, he started kissing me and making further advances. No. So I explained very openly that I was on my period, so we should stop before the shopping arrived. But he was very insistent, and I thought, ugh, fine, I guess. I told him the situation, so what should I expect, right?
No. Oh, God. No, I hate that.
But I understand the mindset. It's,
I know. You know. We've all been there.
We've all been there.
We're all saying no because we've all been in those situations. Yes, exactly. And we just know how that feels.
And sometimes
man.
It just feels easier to be like, fine
whatever.
I'm really glad that the Me Too movement has opened up a conversation about this
specifically
specific thing, because it's like 100% of the women that I know have been in that situation.
100%.
And it's absolutely assault. And like, I remember the first time that I saw I think it was something on Twitter where that was being discussed, where it was just like, if you have had to push a woman who has said no multiple times, and then she finally says yes, it's still assault. Mm-hmm. Like, because you have put her in a situation where every woman has had to make...
she can't say no, clearly.
Yeah, and she's had to make that mental calculation of, like, is it worth
safer?
The potential of rising violence for me to continue to say no, or is it just easier and feel safer?
To just get it over with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, here's a little tidbit for anybody who wasn't clear on that. And she says, and I know I should have been really firm and just pushed him off, but it was a really bad time in my life and I wasn't thinking clearly. It was over in seconds, and it was only when he came that I realized that he hadn't worn the condom I'd quickly thrown at him. And what was more worrying is that when he came, there was loads of it, and it felt like water. It went on for so long. I could feel it like a faucet. I was so confused about what was happening. Then he got off. My shopping came. We went for a walk around the park and chatted. But all I wanted to do was go home and shower for several hours. In any case, he had two small kids he hadn't mentioned in the many messages we'd exchanged, which was also a big no-no for me, and he seemed nice, but after the no condom situation, it was a hell no for me. He also didn't seem to think he'd done anything out of order. After I was safely locked inside my flat, I sent him the obligatory text to tell him I didn't think it was going to work out because I hate confrontation and it felt like he wouldn't have listened in person anyway.
No, I mean, why wouldn't?
Why would you think he would?
Well, exactly. Because he didn't listen to
In this whole situation. Then I washed my sheets in a lobster setting several times because they were wringing wet through with what I can only assume was piss.
Oh my.
I felt so disgusted with myself for letting it happen. And also because I was convinced, yes,
girl,
there's a conversation to be had. Yeah, we should pause, actually.
She has a couple times where she's like, I should have. And I want
her to
know.
It's easy to look back in hindsight and say things like that. But every single woman I know has been in a similar situation.
Yeah.
And it is absolutely not your fault.
No. Absolutely not.
This person's a piece of shit. And also, like, we have been sent, she gives her age, and like, I know people of our age group, age bracket, we were sent so many like very confusing messages about situations like this.
Yep.
In the media, I'm really grateful that like the younger generation, all the Zoomers, all the Gen Z kids out there,
hopefully
not entirely. I mean, it hasn't been eradicated by any means because it's part of our culture, but like, it is good to see that like those conversations are taking place more out in the open, than they ever have before. And that, you know, we can see something on Twitter now that says like, hey, rape isn't just like, is not just like a scary guy, like standing in the bushes.
That's right.
It's all manner of different things.
Yep.
So yes. Okay. Anyway. And also because I was convinced he'd peed inside me. That's literally never happened to me before, ever. It's the strangest sex I've ever had. Oh, and I forgot to say that when he came, his face was priceless. It looked like a cartoon character that had just eaten something delicious, eyes closed, massive grin on his face. So gross.
Ugh.
Anyway, he argues with me via text and rings my phone constantly after I tell him it's not going to work. He eventually it dies down. I have a week of talking to other people on Tinder. And then on Friday, after we met, he messages to say he wants to apologize for being really forward. And he understood I didn't want a relationship, but he would like to be friends since we had so much in common. No. And would like to take me to an incredibly fancy restaurant near my house for Cambrai. I love cheese, and baked Cambrai with a heavy red wine is heaven for me. Mm. But I told him I couldn't afford it. The restaurant was crushingly expensive, and I always insist on going Dutch. So it wasn't a lie. I was struggling to make my rent at the time and had next to nothing, about 15 pounds and loose change in my jacket pocket, maybe, to last the next 2 weeks until payday. He said he'd pay as it was an apology dinner and he was worried he'd upset me. So I agreed. He turned up at my door to collect me with a massive bunch of flowers, so I immediately knew he hadn't listened to me. He then tried to come inside, so I physically pushed him back outside and locked the door. At the restaurant, we decided to sit in the bar area. It was still incredibly posh either way, and he went to order. He came back quite quickly and said, "Do you have a tenner? The wine is well expensive."
Oh, God.
So I had to mess around in my jacket pocket for the change I had and hand over 10 pounds. Over the Cambrai I paid for, he tells me about all the holidays he wants to go on with me, talks about how much his kids are looking forward to meeting me,
and
tells
God.
Me he's warned his ex
fucking nightmare
that he has a new love interest.
Block. Block, block.
Move.
I have no idea what to say to that. I was utterly dumbfounded. I actually don't think I said much else at all the whole night. He walked me back to my flat and then tried to come in. And when I wouldn't let him, he tried to kiss me. I turned away, so he kind of chewed my cheek, which was weird. I eventually got him to go away, and I vowed to never speak to him again. He messaged me repeatedly after that, and eventually I just sent him this missive back about how I told him I just wanted to be friends and that I didn't see it going anywhere, that I didn't want kids, and that I didn't know what he was trying to do here. I also said I wasn't on birth control, and yet he hadn't used the condom I'd given him, and I was confused about the whole situation. He messaged back to say that he was in tears, that he assumed he assumed because we got on that I'd come around and that he'd told his kids about me.
Oh, my God.
I am ready to flip this goddamn table. I am furious.
Yes. And so was she. She says, I was livid. Eventually, he sent me a message saying, you owe me 20 pounds for the wine and food, by the way. Since then, he messages me every so often to see if I want to meet up. I blocked his number, but I'm fairly easy to find online because my business is mainly online, so he finds other ways to message. The last time he messaged, I told him that I live with my partner, and he sent me a message back saying, why didn't you tell me that before?
Oh, wow. My God.
Well, that guy wins worst date ever, actually.
There are few things that piss me off more than a man respecting the fact that he now views you as the property of another man.
And
that's why he'll respect your boundaries. Like, rather than you not taking the fact that you said, respect my boundaries.
I couldn't be more furious right now. I'm literally sweating. My armpits are full of spice.
Bearing in mind, I've met this person twice and been quite clear that I didn't want a relationship with him. Now he just randomly likes my posts on Instagram sometimes, but I've blocked his account a few times and then he pops up again with a slightly different account, same profile picture and basically the same name. I block and ignore, but it's creepy as fuck and it's been well over 2 years at this point.
Wow.
Gee, mini Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, she ends just saying like, this is weird, right? Why won't he leave me alone? Surely I wasn't his only date.
You might have been, number one. God, there is, it's nothing that you did.
Like, no.
That person's just a piece of shit. I mean, you're blocking, you're doing everything that you can to get him away from you now.
Make sure a lot of your friends know about this.
Yeah,
because
correct.
To be honest, like that,
it's actually really scary.
It's very scary. Mm-hmm. In fact,
yeah, I got pretty lucky with going through that when I was dating only once, and it really wasn't even as bad as that. You know, once you give the, you know what, like, this isn't gonna work. I only got like one or two like aggro responses back before they went away, which, you know, I realized I was incredibly lucky.
But I do wonder what that is. And I don't know if science can even tell us like what that is, like what makes someone fixate, because she's not the only person. Like,
no.
There are other people. Oh, you're God. On Tinder. You're going to go on other dates. So like, what is it about like someone becoming so fixated on this one person,
right,
and not being able to let go? Like, it's
wow.
It's just like, why, you know?
Yeah, it's scary. It is scary. But yeah, letting your friends know about that situation, obviously, if he's still like cropping up and stuff in that way
everybody around you, all your friends, all your anybody who is it your neighbors, if you have neighbors, like if he shows up, I mean, like that.
Right. And she said she was living with her partner. I don't know if that's just something that she said to him to get him to go away. But if it's not, then I'm sure that she's had this conversation with her partner. But don't, because, and this is not a criticism of you, writer of the story, at all. But I did feel like through that story that there was a lot of minimizing happening. And don't minimize this stuff with your friends or with your partner or with anyone else, just because you want them to be very aware that this is not just weird behavior. It's actually like pretty scary behavior.
Yeah, it's predatory behavior. Yeah. It is predatory behavior.
And don't minimize it, because I feel like we've been conditioned to think like
this
is not a big deal. No,
and there needs to be more media about how this is sexual assault. You know, guys can't go around like not knowing that this kind of thing is assault.
Right. So.
Well, and yeah, and again, like especially people of. She's right between our ages, and especially people within, I feel like there is like a good age gap. I want to say that my generation is hopefully the last generation before it became like very well talked about. Mm-hmm. But we were just talking about Bridget Jones's Diary, or like movies in the early 2000s where lines were very blurred.
Sure.
People thought that this kind of like relentless pursuit was romantic. And so I feel like people don't know how to have these conversations about how, like, it's not romantic. It's fucking weird.
Yeah,
And if you feel weird about it, that's totally valid. And you don't need to feel guilty about feeling weird about it. It's just,
There's a reason why Pepe Le Pew got canceled.
That's right. Yeah. Bye.
All right. Woo. Well, so my story is a bit of a doozy. Got this one off of Rena.
Okay.
All right. We met online and decided to meet at a bar. It wasn't my first choice, but she said it was close to her home. First red flag, she was roughly 15 minutes late. I had started leaving and pulling out of the parking lot when she pulled through on her bike and said it was I was bailing. She understood.
Wait, hold on. Like, I feel like 15 minutes is nothing, okay? Like, I feel like 15 minutes can be traffic. 15 minutes can be like you had to like work late. Like,
she came on her bike. dude, give her a break.
Look, she's sweating. She's yeah. like sweating through her shirt. She's like, God damn.
I think we're too conditioned for yeah. like LA.
Oh, it's
like
true.
For me, I'm just like, you're on time if you're 5 minutes early.
Same. Like, same. But, I decided, what the hell? I'm still here. Might as well talk. He's like 15 minutes.
Jesus. I feel like I'm early. I try to be early yeah. to things. I do, because I count for LA traffic and all that shit. But I'm like, shit happens. Like yeah. 15 minutes is not like... look, yeah. we've gotten stories on this podcast where people were like, hours. They were an hour late. You know,
yeah.
like that's a situation.
Yeah, this is 15 minutes. And he's like, I'm pulling out. This chill. Is it. I'm literally out of here.
This is a person who's been dating for too long.
Like, yeah, right. He's like, nah.
I can't. I didn't tolerance. Even want to come anyways.
That's right.
She's like, I could be at home watching Office reruns right now.
We sit down to chat. And what she talked about was absolute bonkers. At some point, after talking for an hour, she mentioned that she was the Holy Spirit. Now, I was raised okay. Catholic. Although I lost my faith a long time ago, but I still recalled that it was taught that the Holy Spirit exists inside all of us. I asked her if that's what she meant. She interrupted me to make it very clear that it wasn't that it lived inside of her, but she was the Holy Spirit that lived inside of us.
Jesus my hand, Christ. My hand yes. is raised.
Yes.
So what I was taught in Catholicism was that it's the Holy Trinity.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So like the Holy Spirit is Jesus, is God. Like it's
Father, yep. Son, Holy Ghost. Ghost.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I would that make her as well as the Holy Spirit, would that make her Jesus and God?
Oh, yes.
As well?
I would assume.
I'm not sure.
I would assume she is also yes, I do have Jesus questions Christ superstar. As well. Yes, yes.
Jesus Christ superstar.
Yeah.
She is the Holy Spirit that lives within all of us.
Oh. Which is so. Jesus. Like, that's what I was taught.
Maybe Jesus had a little sister named Katie. She's Katie Christ.
Katie
Christ. Who also has Holy Spirit.
Katie with a C. Yeah. Katie Christ. Yeah, I like
She's
it.
Like, I'm
I
love Katie.
Is it Katie H. Christ?
Katie Christ. I'm What's also her middle the Holy name? Spirit.
Helga Harriet.
Yeah.
Katie Harriet. Christ.
Red flags everywhere. I'm ready to bail. I wish I could say the date ended there, but it didn't. I don't remember how or why, but I ended up driving her home with her bike in my back seat. We got to her place and she starts telling me how she can't wait to be famous. I jokingly
Did she start whisper singing Fergalicious?
I jokingly mentioned, are you going to drop a hot new album? And she said, no. She wanted to be famous for defying society's beauty standards and being an idol for girls to look up to. There's a reason I haven't mentioned her looks till now. For the most part, she's very attractive if she wanted to be. She's tall, looked like she could hold herself well. Unlike in her photos, it was obvious that she had put zero effort into her appearance and rarely took care of herself. Missing teeth, not real dirty, but like lazy dirty. She was saying it was stupid.
Not real dirty, but just like chalantly.
Like just, I don't feel like taking a shower today.
Oh,
she's like last week's date dirty.
Oh, no.
She was saying it was stupid how we told... how we're told to have to dress and put makeup on in order to be considered beautiful. Of course, it felt like she was just making up excuses for not wanting to take care of herself. Lack of makeup isn't the reason she wasn't pretty. I understand the message that she wanted, but I think you get the picture.
Oh, no.
And finally, the really wild. When I finally bailed, she started saying... While she was looking for a partner, she was actually trying to get pregnant immediately.
No.
Following up with, ma'am. Not from her future boyfriend, quote, I have a fuck buddy that I think would give me a really cute baby. So I stopped taking my birth control. He doesn't know, though. I said, okay, I'm done. Good night.
Okay, can we also say, I feel like this
yes.
is assault as well. I feel because if you tell somebody, assuming she's told him she's on birth control,
right?
I feel like you have there's a verbal contract.
That's right.
That yeah. exists between you now that like that you are protected. And
that's
like,
right.
I don't think that you can just.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
Yeah.
You cannot pull the like trap him by
horrible.
Yeah, it's I don't like that at all. It's the same as like not disclosing like if you have an STD something like that.
I feel yes, you have to be honest. Like that kind of deceit is really really not okay.
No, it's really dirty. She messaged me again a week later saying that she understood why I never messaged her for a second date, but she wasn't surprised, but upset because she really liked me and thought we had a real connection.
Well, all right. Katie.
Oh.
Jesus. Woo. The Holy Spirit. That's a verse.
Well, I
Holy Spirit.
I really feel like you should have asked more questions about that.
I think he did the right thing and got the fuck out.
But for my sake, I would like more details.
I'm sorry, sir. Could you go back, please?
I'm sorry. I need answers. So if you don't mind going and asking some more questions, I have a list of 5 questions. Message I need you to answer.
See what happens. Okay. Are you guys ready for my tainted love?
I don't know. I'm nervous.
I'm scared. I feel like it's been a roller coaster of an evening. So,
okay. So of course I've done this the last few times where I have gotten one together, research, written it.
Mm-hmm.
But then last night, as we were laying in our bed, turning on something to fall asleep to, Netflix had added this show called The Lost Pirate Kingdom.
Stop it.
Oh my God, I almost watched that.
Shut your mouth.
I almost watched it.
A pirate story. I can't wait.
This tainted love, I'm going to take you back to the early 1700s.
Brought to you by rum.
You know I love a history story. Yes. Yes.
Brought to you by rum.
So much spiced gold, rum.
Booty. Pirates.
Booty.
What's their name for pirate treasure? Booty.
Booty.
Booty. Booty.
So I'm going to be doing the story of Black Sam Bellamy.
Okay. I'm
on a journey.
I'm buckled in.
Okay. I wrote way too much for this, but it was very fun. Okay. Following the discovery of the New World, European countries vied for control of its vast and profitable resources. War between England, Spain, France, and other countries was common, fought on land, but also on sea. To negate some of the cost of having and maintaining a robust navy, most countries began to commission privateers. Privateers were simply pirates with a piece of paper they were allowed to be pirates due to war.
Yeah.
So now, since no one had cell phones back in the day, oftentimes wars would end. And these privateers would just continue their looting.
I really feel like pirates had to have looked down on privateers. Do you think that they were like you think pirates were like the hipsters? Where they were like, we were pirating.
Well before
pirating was legal.
Actually had the first pirating album. You didn't even know them then.
Name 5 songs. Like, I don't think you can, you know.
So this is actually a story from what is referred to as the Golden Age of Pirates. In the early 1700s, England was at war with Spain and France, and it was mainly about territories in the New World, specifically like Bermuda, Jamaica, that sort of thing.
Where are we going to colonize?
For real.
Yeah. So Sam Bellamy was born in England in 1689. His mother died only 3 weeks after his baptism. And they were like poor tenant farmers. So Sam decided to try his luck at a sailor at the young age of 13 by joining the Royal Navy.
He's like, off to start my career. See you later. 13, yes.
I got my first pimple and my first career.
Yeah. You guys remember 13?
Yeah.
Like I was like caking on Maybelline Dream Mousse. Yes. You know?
Yes.
Like, now here's what's wild. Like they say he's like 13 when he like sails off. There's also some stories that were like he may have left behind a wife and a kid.
What? Okay.
And his changing voice.
I'm sorry.
He's like, bye, honey.
No. My cousin's son is about to turn 13. They just had his party, and he had a skateboarding theme birthday party, and they posted it on Facebook. And I was like, this kid literally looks like such a baby. And like, I changed his diapers. Like, he's a child.
He's a child.
Yeah.
Actual child. And I understand times were different, but at but no time do I think a 13-year-old is mature enough to be a father.
To pay like, rent. Yes. Did you pay the electric bill, honey? Like, no.
I think it's, did you pay the electric bill, honey?
So, like, vast riches were prime for the taking during this time because, you know, they're colonizing the Bahamas, Jamaica, that sort of thing. There's also the slave trade that's going on. So they're sending slaves over and they're coming back with these ships filled full of gold, rum, all kinds of things from the New World back over. So a lot of the warships were over by the Bermuda to kind of take those ships that were full of the gold and that sort of thing before they could get back over to Europe. So it was just a shitty, shitty, shitty life, though, to be a poor sailor.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Look, anyone who's been on a boat, like a small enough boat, is like, I don't. No, thank and you. I mean,
they're
you
not cleaning their dick off after sex.
No.
Oh, God, their dicks were so dirty. Can you imagine? Just
these boats were like slapdash pieces of wood in the fucking ocean. And it was just an awful existence. Violent, brutal beatings were common for even the smallest infraction. And food-wise, drink-wise, like, it sucked. And those that tried their luck sailing for merchant vessels often fared even worse. So there were plenty of times where people would just get beat to death and tossed overboard.
I really feel like the sailor life was romanticized.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of, like, old movies I've seen. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, this seems horrible.
This does not feel like the ride in Disney World.
It sure don't. That's
doesn't
right.
Feel like that.
Well, it really, really marked the impressionable young Sam Bellamy, how violent and how awful that existence was. So, you know, after in the wake of the War of Spanish Succession, after the peace, countless privateers and veterans of the Navy all of a sudden find themselves unemployed.
Sure.
They're just dropped off at random ports in the world, like the war's over. Your piece of paper saying you can't rob ships anymore, it's null and void, so there's no use for you. So now, during this war, England alone had commissioned 1,600 ships.
Wow.
So multiply that by like an average of 100 people for ships.
Oh, you're my talking about God.
All of a sudden, these people, that was their employment.
Yeah.
It's done. The war's over.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So some of these desperate job seekers then headed from England to New England to make a fresh start in life. Sam had relatives in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. So in 1715, he decided to take his luck there. And here is where our love story begins.
Mm.
Because as legend has it, he fell in love at first sight with the local 15-year-old beauty, Maria Hallett.
Well, he's what, 16 now?
At this point in 1715, he would have been 20-something.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
listen, yeah, Charlie Sheen.
26.
Just call them Soleil and Charlie. I mean, but I mean, how many times do we see that in these stories? It's like the woman, girl in these stories is always like 15 or 16. It's just...
Yeah. However, due to his poverty, like her family... they traced it back. The Hallets were a well-off family during that time. So he's an unemployed seaman.
Seaman.
And so due to his poverty and lack of options, her parents strongly opposed a marriage. So Sam comes up with a plan. With help from one of his richer friends, Palgraves Williams, he set off in 1716 to find a legendary treasure off the Florida coast from a wrecked Spanish treasure fleet.
Can you imagine living in a time when you were really like, yeah, that's a possibility?
That's my career. I'm going to find treasure.
Yes. Yes.
So little did he know, before he sets off on his adventure, he gave Maria something to remember him by.
Chlamydia.
Syphilis.
Very common during that time.
I know. Exactly. I know.
To cure it, they insert like mercury into their.
I know, man. Ooh.
Yeah. Not good. Bellamy and Williams make their way to the Bay of Honduras, where they engaged in small-scale piracy with a handful of other desperate men.
I just looked at Cassie where I was like, small and, scale piracy.
Entry level.
Just like entry a level. Touch. Just a touch of piracy.
Skosh. Like,
just kind of a dash, you know?
They managed to capture a small sloop, but abandoned it when they were attacked by the pirate Henry Jennings, who had a much larger force. Bellamy, Williams, and Jennings, however, teamed up to take a huge French frigate in April of 1716.
We really can't hold it together. We're like a sloop, a frigate. What's happening?
So many types of boats. Bellamy and Williams double-crossed Jennings, however, stealing much of the take from the French vessel. They then teamed up with Benjamin Hornigold.
Come on.
Quit.
Stop.
Quit.
I'm not making this
up. It also does know because I'm seeing this whole thing play out in my head, like the Muppets Treasure Island. Yeah. You know what I mean? Where I'm just like,
is that how you're picturing this whole story with the rats and everything?
He's the Gonzo.
Benjamin Hornigold.
Oh no.
He's a well-known pirate who refused to attack English ships.
It's Fozzie Bear.
I just want people to keep that in mind the next time that you're thinking, like, maybe I'll choose my last name with my partner when we get married. Mm-hmm. Keep Hornigold in mind.
Yeah.
I mean, feel like I've never met a Hornigold. A gold? What happened to their line? Did it die out?
Seems like an appropriate
Or did they change it like we did? Because it was associated with pirates.
Yeah, you're like,
Could be like, you know, but I think it's a great surname if you're going to be a pirate. I feel like it kind of says what you want in life. What you,
yeah. Just puts it all on the table.
Yep. Horny for gold. One of Hornigold's officers was a man named Edward Teach, who would eventually gain great fame under another name, Blackbeard.
Yep.
His meeting with Hornigold was fortuitous, as this dude ran his ship under a pirate code, a democratic system where common sailors could vote out their captains and have some control over their route, who they attack, and their destiny. Bellamy remained with his mentor for a short time before striking out on his own when Hornigold's crew voted him off the ship for refusing to take English boats. His pirate career was off to a great start, and he would use two ships to his advantage, often able to capture ships without even firing a shot. He was known for nonviolence, preferring to take the treasure off the ship and send the crew on their way.
He's like, look, I don't want to have to shoot a motherfucker, but I will.
I will.
I will if I have. Don't make me do it. Don't make me do it.
I prefer not.
And at this time, he earned his nickname Black Sam because he refused to wear the powdered wigs fashionable at the time. Instead, just rocking his black hair in a low ponytail
while he wore founding father, gorgeous.
Four ornate dueling pistols in a sash around
his
waist.
I like it that no matter how popular, you know how sometimes trends come about and you're like, I don't care how many people tell me this is hot. That's ugly.
Right. I don't like
you know what I mean?
Like
it's ugly. And I love that he was just like, you know what? I don't give a fuck that everybody likes these dumb white wigs.
Well, here is why I have such a, like, my heart. I'm like in love with Black Sam Bellamy because he was totally like, he didn't want to wear them because they were associated with like upper class.
Yeah.
And Bellamy fucking hated
them. Not a class traitor. I see.
Yeah.
Eat them.
He loved the freedom that came with piracy and had nothing but disdain for those sailors who chose life aboard a merchantman or naval vessel. His crew, who called themselves Robin Hood's men, consisted of slaves, Native Americans, and poor Englishmen that had been pressed into service. Mm. And he treated them as equals, allowing them to vote on important decisions.
Yeah, it's class solidarity.
I like this guy.
Hi. Mm-hmm. We like to see it.
His famous quote to a captured captain named Beer, as cited by Captain Charles Johnson, reveals his philosophy. They vilify us, the scoundrels do, when there is only this difference. They rob the poor under the cover of law. Forsooth, we plunder the rich under the protection of our own courage.
All right, shit. I'm here for it.
Translates to eat
we
the
like
rich.
It. We like to see it.
We love to see it. He was like, I mean, this is before the founding fathers like had our ideals of democracy. And this motherfucker, like, you know,
he's already in it.
Well, and even our the United States ideals of democracy were not something that we lived by. No. If you consider every human being to be an actual realized human being. So
that's why I'm like, I stan him.
We do. Yes. Yeah.
Bellamy continued to haunt the Caribbean for a few months before becoming one of the most feared and richest pirates, taking over 50 ships in less than a year. In February, he made a major score, capturing the slave ship Witta. It is a lucky break on many levels because the Witta was carrying a shitload of gold and rum. As a bonus, the Witta was a very large, seaworthy ship and would make a fine pirate vessel. He refitted the ship, mounting 28 cannons on board. And at this point, the Witta was one of the most formidable pirate ships in history and could go toe-to-toe with many Royal Navy ships. And he had made enough money to claim his prize of Maria Hallett, and he set off to Cape Cod to get his love.
Damn. Get your lady, girl.
Yeah. Meanwhile, during the time he was away, Maria had given birth to a baby, which in, as you can imagine, in Puritan Massachusetts in the early 1700s, as an unmarried woman,
She's a witch.
Was ruinous. Sadly, the baby died that night, but the town was so scandalized that they threw her in jail.
Yeah. I mean, Cassie, come on.
While in prison, she became so distraught that she lost her mind. Escaping frequently, she wandered the dunes of the Atlantic shore looking seaward for her lost lover.
Oh, honey.
She was eventually cast out of town with the stipulation that she never returned.
Maybe you should have done that immediately rather than throw her in jail. Just be like, hey, could you leave? Because we're uncomfortable. That would be better than putting her in jail, really.
And she was reduced to scratching out a living doing menial jobs. She built a hut in the wilderness, and legend has it the local American, Native American tribe helped her to survive by teaching her what was edible, what was medicinal, and what was poisonous. And many from the local town of Eastham would end up coming to her for cures and that sort of thing. And she would wait by the shore for her love's return, becoming known as the Heartbroken Witch of Wellfleet.
Oh my God.
So in April of 1717, so this has been a year. Sam.
What? I'm sorry.
This all has happened in a year.
Jeez.
Whoa. A lot happens. He's 13. He's got bills.
TikTok, motherfucker.
I got shit to do.
Whoa.
In April of 1717, Sam had made it back to Massachusetts with land on the horizon when suddenly a nor'easter storm raged around them. The attack from the sea was swift, and the boat sank less than a mile from shore. All but two of the 145 men perished, Black Sam one of them.
Stop it. Christina, why would you do this?
This is terrible. Why would you do this to us?
Like, I was all prepared for a happy ending.
I know.
I wanted them to be reunited.
Just a mile from shore.
How dare you?
So now, as the couple endlessly longs for a second chance at their ill-fated romance, the Witch of Wellfleet continues to haunt the bluffs while the poltergeist of the Prince of Pirates haunts the beaches. And to this very day, his tortured soul is still trying to make it ashore as she yearns for him atop the cliffs overlooking the Cape.
I'm furious, but I also feel like I don't think Cassie's gonna go for it. I'm like, I feel like there needs to be a beach time camping trip. Nighttime camping. No, I'll do it.
I'm in.
Are you in?
Fuck yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah. Like, let's go.
Sign
let's,
me up.
Let's see if we can
find we can bring the them together. Yes, if we can find a way.
What if we could bring them together? Is there some kind of like incantation we can do that will bring them together?
Now, I also was reading because I'm like, first of all, Massachusetts, and they now refer to her as Goody Hallett. Because I'm like, that's what they called the witches back in the day. And they're like, Goody Hallett supposedly like haunts all these places. But I was reading a lot of like these Northeastern history, like Massachusetts history pages or whatever.
Yeah. Are you guys related, by the way?
No. But there was one where like this guy was in a restaurant and he went into the bathroom and comes out like really freaked out. And he tells the manager, like, I got to go. There was like a woman that was in really weird dress and then that was in the bathroom and then she disappeared. And he was like terrified. And so he signs the credit card receipt and his last name was Bellamy.
No, it wasn't.
Oh,
no.
Shut
no.
your
no.
face.
Yeah. Yeah, so and there's like a bunch of stories about that, about like her haunting the area and stuff. Ooh. And it's just like, it's really cool. But also in 1984, the wreckage of the Whydah Galley was discovered, making it the first authenticated pirate shipwreck discovered in North America, with treasure found worth over $120 million.
Treasure. I mean, tell me you guys have seen Ghost Ship, yes?
Oh, dude. And they have it, like, I forget where in Massachusetts. You can see they ended up unearthing, like, trunks and trunks of gold coins. And people in the area would be like, oh, yeah, every once in a while, if you walk the beach, like, a gold coin would.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you'll find a doubloon. Like, what?
Yes. It's crazy because
I'm going on this camping trip with
one of those metal detectors. Yes, we're going to look like a 75-year-old man in a Hawaiian t-shirt just walking the beach with a metal detector. I
love it.
Khaki
shorts.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
So Black Sam's legacy, aside from having been the richest pirate, was one of generosity and mercy towards those that he captured on pirate raids. Though he had a short career of only 1 year, dying at the age of 29, Samuel Bellamy makes his mark as one of the most notable, romantic, and the most successful pirate in history.
You know, I also got to say that is quite a career. 13 to 29, I mean, you got it in, really.
Well, I mean, he really was only a pirate
for a year.
Like a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was just
wild.
Like, he was so well known. People like fight to be like on his ship or in his crew because he was so like against violence.
You
was
know
democratic,
what? I gotta say, I feel like this is what happens when you have class solidarity. Because you see, what happened here is that he took over ships that had enslaved people on the ships.
Yep,
on the same level as whatever other.
Yeah.
Stuff they were carrying for merchant goods. And he took them on and like they became part of his crew. And his crew amassed to be this like big thing with like enslaved people, lower class people.
Yep.
Ready to take shit over. I'm just saying this is what can happen if we all
let's
decide
get
like
a ship,
hey
guys.
Yeah, Bellamy. Yeah.
This is what can happen if we just like decide, hey guys, we have more in common than don't have in common.
Correct.
Let's unite. Not trying to be a radical podcast.
No, but still, I'm like, there's a reason why I feel like that was a big part of why he was successful. You know, and he was, you know, the Robin Hood of pirates.
Love to see it. We love to see it. Oh, and his.
The Prince of Pirates and the Witch of Wellfleet. So yeah, that's my crazy in love for the week. But also, yeah, watch that Netflix show. It's kind of cheeseball.
What's it called again?
The Lost Kingdom of Pirates.
Saw it on there. I almost watched. I'm not gonna lie. I almost watched it the other day. I was like,
it's really interesting. Some of the like reenactment stuff is a little like.
But you know what? I'm willing to forgive that if the show is good enough. I really am. I'm willing to forgive some like cheeseball reenactments.
But the story's really interesting, and they had other stories on there too. Like, you know, they go more into Horny Gold and Blackbeard and. I mean, it's like several episodes. I haven't even finished it. There's a woman pirate.
Yeah.
That's really, I forget her name, though. I was half asleep.
There's actually a couple women, female pirates.
Yeah. And so they're just
Anne
talking
Bonny.
About how, yes, Anne Bonny. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's, so shameless plug for my other podcast. Whenever I was gone in Missouri for a while, Madigan, my co-host for Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist, did a Bad Girls series, and she did a episode on Anne Bonny.
Anne Bonny, who was a badass bitch pirate captain at the age of 16.
Yep. So, I'm like, get the party
teenagers,
started.
What are you doing with your life?
Yeah, what are you doing?
This motherfucker.
Gen Z, come correct, okay?
With your TikToks. These people have full-on careers.
That's right. That's
well, right. TikTok is a career for some people.
Yeah,
and you know
true.
What I say
get
to that?
Get yourself a ship.
Good for you. My friend was telling me about how his niece, she's like 17 or 16, and she's got like 100,000 followers on TikTok, and I was like, you know what, good for her. I'm like, I was like, the only thing I hope for her is that she like actually turns this into an actual like
secure
career.
The bag.
Like secure the bag. Get do it. Do it. Do it. I wish I'd done it with YouTube when I was coming up. So I'm happy for you. Okay.
Good for you.
Well, what are you guys watching this week?
I watched I Care a Lot.
Mm-hmm.
And
I did not want to give away the ending. I was waiting.
I'm not going to give away the ending. I have complicated feelings about the show.
Yeah.
I have complicated feelings about it because
there's no good people.
There are no good people, which makes it very confusing because mm-hmm. I feel like we as audiences are conditioned to believe that there is a protagonist mm-hmm. and that there is someone you are supposed to be rooting for. So because, I mean, and I went to film school, like, this is how movies are written. This is how stories are written, where you have to be rooting for somebody. Like, right. Even when you're watching Wolf of Wall Street, which I came away from that being like, I fucking hate this guy. But it was very clear that the point of view of the movie of which Wolf of Wall Street was that you were supposed to be rooting for him.
Right.
Like, that was the which point of view of the movie.
It's difficult because you're rooting for a bad guy.
Right. But I mean, a lot of people did, right? Because that's the way that the movie was set up. Mm-hmm. And this movie, I could not figure out. I texted because I was like, I can't figure out if the movie is trying to make us root for Rosamund Pike's character right. because she is terrible. That's not giving anything away. The trailer.
I felt like it was, at least for me, I felt like it was trying to get me to like root for her demise.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But that is
because I couldn't wait for her demise.
Because you had to root for her demise because there was no other option. But that is unusual. And so I feel like for half the movie, it confuses your mind into being like, you're so conditioned to look for who you're supposed to be rooting for, and there is no one to root
no
for.
No one. No. Nope. You think there might be, and then no.
Right. So it makes the movie kind of like a weird thing to watch, but I don't regret having watched it. I think it was an entertaining movie.
Yeah.
I would recommend that people watch it and draw their own conclusions.
It's weird to call it good, but it was enjoyable.
It was enjoyable. It's hard to, it was enjoyable. Yeah. It was frustrating, well
yeah.
very well acted, very well done. I mean, there are like things in the movie that I think are unbelievable.
Sure.
For sure. But if you're watching perfectly. It with your disbelief suspended, I think that, yeah, it's totally enjoyable to watch, totally cast amazingly. Rosamund Pike's great. Peter Dinklage is great. Diane Wiest is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I had feelings, mm-hmm. but it was good overall.
Right on. I watched the Pirate Show, and then we downloaded the PDF of the Oscar noms. And
oh,
we've been kind of
okay.
going through those. So last night we watched Mank.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
which was actually I really enjoyed it. I love like romantic early Hollywood movies. So if you're really interested in like. Some hot because it's about the guy who wrote Citizen Kane.
So, oh, okay.
A lot of the, I would say about a quarter of the movie actually takes place at Hearst Castle.
Whoa.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm interested.
I'm in.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch. Yeah.
Costumes are great. Everything looks great. Gary Oldman's incredible.
Yeah.
Charles,
oh, I mean,
dance is terrifying.
Oh dear.
And yeah, so if you're interested in old Hollywood stuff, yeah,
you know what?
I
haven't heard a ton about this. Like, I feel like there are some things. The Oscar nominations are weird in general because last year was fucking weird, and like no one went to the Oscar or went to the theater. But that one I've heard very, very little about.
Right.
So I am excited to kind of like give that a look. See, that's interesting.
If you're into old Hollywood stuff, then definitely give it a go. I'd say that would be the headspace that you would need to be in to watch that movie.
Right on.
So, there you
go. I like you watched the Soleil Moon Frye thing, mm-hmm. And then I've been just kind of between doing schoolwork, been binging Property Brothers at night because that's where my head's at.
That's a comfy.
It is.
So I feel like comfy. All
it
love
is.
Home
love
makeover
HGTV
shows.
Yeah. I am about to move to Vegas though. Chris is like, the
we talked about
so
this.
Cheap.
I came over the other night and we had a few drinks and we were talking a handful and we were talking about that and I was just like, look, I grew up in Vegas.
I would do it.
I like Vegas a lot.
If my career is here, though, you know what I mean? Like, especially now.
Yeah.
I mean, just got a new job. But yeah, like, I love LA. But could I see myself retiring to Vegas? Yeah, absolutely.
I feel
actually.
Like people write Vegas off because
no.
they think that it's only a party city.
No way.
But if I had to say, having lived in Las Vegas and lived here, and granted, I lived in these places in different parts of my life.
Vegas is a great town.
And Vegas is far more, people think of Vegas as a very party city, but I would say Vegas is far more family friendly than LA is by
Yeah, I actually agree. I actually agree.
By a whole lot. Yeah. So like it's
easier to escape the party.
Well, and there's tons of events that are like specifically for like lower key shit where I feel like all of the events in LA are like, are you going to put on a Bonnycon dress and 6-inch heels and go fucking party? Like that's what I mean, LA
I'm not
is,
ready to you know? Give up that life.
Me neither. Oh, listen, I'm fucking about that life. I was telling Christina during the break that like
wait.
All I'm doing is looking for fancy dresses that mm-hmm. I have nowhere to wear them mm-hmm. to on ASOS. That's all I'm doing with my free time. So
my Rent the Runway is just stacked with party dresses mm-hmm. that Why? I will literally never rent because I'm just there, just in case, like when mm-hmm. I need it.
Yep.
I've got a little hearts list of backups just in case.
I'm still on that Trixie and Katya.
Yes.
Vibe too. I swear. It's just
so
like,
good, dude.
The best. Amazed. If you want an instant smile, watch their videos on YouTube.
And what's that series called again?
I like to watch.
I like to watch. We watched one together last week and it was, mwah! Oh, it was beautiful.
So good.
I'm crying. Well, if you have stuff that we should watch, if you have stories to tell, definitely go to our one-stop shop of a website. It's mywarstatepodcast.com. Don't forget to join us Friday nights at 6:30 p.m. PST on Stereo. We're also going to be doing pop-ups throughout the week. So best way to find out about those is to follow us on Facebook or Instagram. We'll definitely keep you posted. And we love you guys so much.
Cheers.